Right now, joining me in the Allstate Skyline studio is John Chase, Director of Investigations for the Better Government Association, and BGA investigator Alejandro Cancino. They had this great piece. Alejandro, it was an outstanding piece, and you needed to have it in a magazine. It was in Chicago Magazine because it was so comprehensive. But basically, the way I've been seeing it is all of the billions of dollars over the years that have been pumped into O'Hare International Airport with great extravagant promises, what do we have to show for it?
And that's the great question. So we went back into the archives, and what we found was a long history of corruption.
Shocking, right?
More than a dozen people have gone to jail following federal or local investigations that started at O'Hare or were directly related to O'Hare. And what we thought was really interesting is that the history is striking when you consider how much we've spent to redo what's already been done. And the promises being made now echo some of those promises being made before.
I mean, there's so many facets to this story, but one of the things I look at the saga of the international terminal at O'Hare, and how, you know, here went, you know, decades ago, state of the art, boom, boom, boom. All of this stuff is bragged about as all being state of the art. Now we're going to build a new one.
I'm glad you picked up on that. So that was one of our examples that we focus on, because so the idea was to pick three examples that were, you know, at the time, some of the biggest public construction projects in the history of the city. And one of them was the international terminal. And like you said, I mean, we're going now build what will be the fourth international terminal when it's finalized. And we're talking about the new global terminal that Mayor Rahm Emanuel unveiled last year. And it's part of this multi-billion, it's $8.5 billion project to modernize the airport yet again. And yeah, I mean, time and time again, the first international terminal was built in the 1960s. It was finished in 1963, actually. And it opened to reviews of it being already crowded. And
right. It was already, as a new facility, it was already had been defeated and it already crowded. And this is before the TSA. You know, this is not just, you know, we didn't have any security then. It was just that's the customs checkpoints were already being overwhelmed.
Right, the long lines at customs. And so that's why we later moved into a parking lot, which was supposed to be a temporary facility. And we ended up being there for 8 years.
Which cost how much for the
It was millions, again, to do
as a temporary facility.
As a temporary facility. And then we ended up with what's now Terminal 5, which ended up costing more than $600 million. And that's about double what was originally budgeted for.
And now we move ahead to back to Terminal 2.
Right.
I guess will be the old Terminal 5. They'll move it back to the middle of the concourse.
The main terminal, right. Now, the new global terminal will be this idea of having, part of it is because the way the airlines run their business, right? They want to have this, here is a hub where you have multiple flights coming in, and they want to have connecting flights. So if you're traveling
seamless travel.
Seamless travel, right.
Is, I think, the marketing term for
that
it.
That is the marketing term.
But here again, I mean, let's look at the new, this new terminal. Who picked it? Who made the decision of all of the different firms that were vying for it?
Well, we don't know, because it was
$8.5 billion.
Well, I mean, Rahm Emanuel's administration, as you know, Rick. I mean, they laid this whole thing out, and then it is sort of it was laid on the lap of Mayor Lightfoot now, and now it's moving forward, and they're picking Jeannie Gang. They picked it to sort of oversee. She's a Chicago architect, and Blair Kamen with the Tribune was very critical of this process because it was behind closed doors. You can't get all the materials of what went into who was bidding for what. So we're starting to see some of the same things that Alejandra found in her investigation repeating itself, at least initially, on this project. And so that was one of the big reasons we wanted to do this project at this time, is because of that, is because, you know, we're about to enter what very well may be the biggest public works project up to now in Chicago's history. And people need to know about the transparency of it and need to know what's going behind the scenes. And already we're starting to see that maybe that's not going to happen.
Well, and Blair raised some valid criticisms, mm-hmm. too, not Absolutely. Just of the process, but of the, you know, what the actual design was, well, which I right, realize yeah. that goes beyond yeah. the scope of what you're looking at. But frankly, it reminded me of what you were talking about from the very first international terminal, that, you know, it's got to be functional. And you know, obviously everybody's trying to peddle something, and well, which yes. seamless transport, you know,
right.
you know, and to me it looks like, you know, a lot of questions need to be raised about the number of levels and you know, the access issues
access
that
points,
are
right for folks. And yeah, and I mean, every time you go through these projects, you know, they're designed to be up to date for when
state of the art
when they're going to be done, and inevitably they always seem to be, you know, already behind the times by the time they, you know, they cut the ribbon. And again, that's one of these frustrations that I think travelers have. I mean, just in the last few weeks, that there's been problem after problem at O'Hare, you know, just related to what should be, you know, everyday nuisances, but not major problems.
Well, remember, the reconfiguration of the runways was supposed to take care of all the weather-related issues.
And that still hasn't been resolved. That was one of the other points we brought up. That was Mayor Daley, you know, and that landed in Rahm's lap, and he didn't, you know, finish that project. And yeah, so the modernization program, I think they announced that in 2001. And of course, there's
Boy, do I feel old.
Yeah, I know, me too.
We're speaking to John Chase, Director of Investigations at the Better Government Association, and PGA investigator Alejandro Cancino, about her research into kind of the history of the billions of dollars that we poured into O'Hare, and the money keeps flying away. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pierce from the Chicago Tribune, joined by two of my former Tribune colleagues who have moved on to the Better Government Association. Alejandro Cancino, who's a BGA investigator, who's written this great package that appeared in Chicago Magazine. You can also read it at the BGA,
BetterGov.org,
which kind of just a litany of the millions and billions of dollars that have been pumped into O'Hare International Airport, and what do we have to show for it? John Chase is also with us. He's Director of Investigations for the BGA. And Alejandro, I wanted to move. We talked about the international terminal. How about this people mover? What the heck's going on with this?
And that was some of the things. What we wanted to do here was to show readers some of the promises that have been made and what came of those promises, right? And so when we looked at the people mover, what I thought was really interesting was this idea of history repeating itself. So when the people mover opened in 1993, it was years behind schedule and millions of dollars over budget. And now fast forward to today, the people mover is now being updated, and it's again a year behind schedule. It's actually shut down now, so no one can take the people mover. It's expected to open in September, although we don't know whether that deadline will be met. And it's, again, more than $23 million over budget. And so you have this right history repeating itself again and again.
Well, and what I found fascinating in your article and the research was nobody was really a fan of this thing to begin with.
That's right. The airlines.
It was like, well, this is something that they do at airports, so we should have one too. Right. And now, and we're talking about, okay, so we're talking about $334 million is the upgrade here. Whereas this is for 2.2 miles. 2.2 miles.
Right. It's nearly 3 miles.
Because there'll be an extension to it.
Because it'll finally go
to the rental cars.
Right.
Which they didn't do when they initially built it, because why would we do that?
Right.
Right.
Who wants to? Who wants to?
So you still had to take a shuttle.
So I mean, you still take a shuttle bus to go get the rental car.
Right.
So, yes, because this was all done to modernize and alleviate the road surface transportation in the airport.
Yes.
So let's have this rail system.
Right. Right. Because so, the idea at the time, so the city was thinking about the fact that the airport is so big, so they were talking about how they didn't want, you know, people were complaining about how long they had to walk, and so they decided that this people mover was something that they could use to really move
people around. And it has happened. It is used at other, that system is used at other airports.
It is. Almost every airport has a people mover. So
much more efficiently, I might add. Even at hated airports like DFW and Atlanta, it's at least efficient.
That's one of the things. It's, you know, the ideas may or may not be good. Like, we're not here saying we're experts on, like, yeah, this is how it should have been done or not. But the execution time and again has been lacking for generations. From the international terminal to the runways to the people mover, what you don't see is the execution on time. Under budget or on budget, everything's over budget. All three of those examples have been either over budget or late or both. And that's one of the problems that we, as citizens, we probably don't want to see repeat with this $8.5 billion package.
Is it just because the piggy bank is kind of unlimited?
Well, I mean, the city has a lot of reasons as to why things didn't go as planned, right? With, you know, the people mover, they will say, well, you know, there were things that were unexpected, right? They with the runways, they talked about, you know, one of the examples that Jamie Reed, who's the current commissioner of aviation, gave me was when you do a repair in your house, you initially budget for one amount, and then they open the walls, and then they find mold behind the walls, and then they have to do a lot more.
How many moldy runways do we have?
Well, that was something that, you know, I pressure her on. It's like, okay, well, but we're talking about the city has consultants, right? There's
shouldn't this be part of the pre-planning phase that
yes, you usually should be a contingency. Yes,
I mean
for your housing project. And to your point about the piggy bank, what I'd like to add is, I mean, so what you hear over and over again is this isn't taxpayer money technically because it's fees and it's on the travelers who go through O'Hare, and that's often used as a
that's what I meant protection. About the a piggy bank
exactly
here.
Yes, that's this protection between, oh well, we're not wasting your money, we're spending
we're wasting all the schmucks who have to go through
course,
O'Hare,
but
which includes us.
How many times have we used O'Hare or Midway
right?
And it's borrowing, and there is I don't want to say it's not limitless, but it's a lot of borrowing, and it enables governments on these projects and others to, you know, to be a bit of a piggy bank. And that's one of the other things that Alejandra found was this trough of the same folks, contractors, lobbyists, coming back to the same to O'Hare for this work, to often redo the work that they did, you know, 10, 15 years earlier.
Yeah, and I think that's a big factor too, and that's what I meant about too with the piggy bank is you've got these interests that they're specialized, you know, in some respects, but they know that they can keep going back to the well for more.
And to that point, I mean, it is the taxpayer money. I mean, when you think about the fact every worker that works at the airport has to park at the airport. When you park at the airport, you pay an extra fee that goes into that bucket of money for construction. Every time you buy a plane ticket, you pay an extra fee that goes into that bucket of money for construction. Every time you buy anything at the airport, there's a revenue sharing agreement with the city that goes into that bucket. So we use that airport, and the money belongs to the taxpayer.
Well, we touched on runways earlier, but the fact that, you know, that here you have, let's see, so we have who's pouring the concrete?
Well, some of the same. You got Walsh Construction. You got some of the long time construction companies that have been doing that this work, and then
including companies that have run afoul offshoots.
Yes.
I should say offshoots of companies had run afoul of the law.
One of the things we found was there's a current company called K5, which years earlier, and they're still getting business out at O'Hare. Their father, grandfather, had gotten in trouble and essentially was for work at O'Hare. And then they had changed their name and done some corporate paperwork. And they're still out there, still doing work.
Yeah, I mean, this is going back to 1970s, right?
Yes.
So in the 1970s, there was...
I remember those, by the way.
The 1970s. Right, and so there was, a huge investigation that started with big rigging at the airport over runway contracts, and ended up being a huge federal investigation into big rigging in contracts for the Stephenson Highway. But it all started out of here, which we thought was really interesting, and some of those companies that were involved in that are still at the airport today.
We talked about bonding. I mean, certainly the same kind of bond firms are making big buck on everything that's being bonded out there.
Yeah. And I think about those as in buckets, because it's a good way for me to remember this, is that everyone, there's like buckets of money to be made at the airport, right? And so one bucket is, like you said, is the law firm and financial firms that get money from bond deals. And so just during the Manuel's administration, they received they split $62 million worth of fees just for issuing bonds. The other bucket is lobbying, and since 2012, lobbyists have made $31 million from firms with an interest at the airport.
That's $100 million right there.
That's just fees. That's not an actual work.
Right. There's nothing. Yes.
You haven't laid down one inch of concrete or
taken a ride on a people mover.
Right. Or put one screw into the wall.
I'd encourage everybody to take a look at this this piece. It's really some great work. And Alejandra Cancino, BGA investigator, thank you so much. John Chase, director of investigations at the BGA, thank you both for
being
here.
Thanks for having us.